chapter 11. And I felt like the Lord challenged me to preach this chapter, which we all know to be the faith chapter, without saying faith. And I said, Lord, that's impossible. But I think the problem is sometimes that the object of our faith is faith, when the object of our faith should be the cross. Amen. Paul said, I'll glory in the cross. That in no way diminishes the necessity for faith. And so I wanted to kind of emphasize what I feel this great, great chapter in the Bible says and how it says it, without focusing on the word faith, but the action of faith. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your many blessings in our life. And thank you, Lord, that by grace are we saved through faith. And so today, Lord, we just dedicate ourselves afresh to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message is, They Seek a Country. They Seek a Country. And this theme runs through this chapter, and it really is about looking past this world to a city whose builder and maker is God. They seek a country. Hebrews 11:14 says, For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Hallelujah. I think I shared with you a while back that someone said something about how they thought Christians were like, had an escape mentality, and how, well, how the loving God made a beautiful world, and why would we not just enjoy this beautiful world he made or whatever. And I kind of laughed, and they said, well, do you not agree with that? I said, well, I agree with it, but you will never understand until you're truly born again that once you get saved, your citizenship changes. As much as you love this beautiful world that God gave us and made for us to inherit and to be have dominion over, but once you get saved, and you really can't get saved until you're willing to turn your back on this world, because it's a worldly system governed by the prince of the power of the air. And so the Bible clearly describes these heroes of faith as people who sought a country that was not a worldly country. Amen. They sought a place that was better, a place that was better than the best place on earth. You know, the way our economy is today, people have the ability to have huge in-ground pools, and they can take trips to exotic places and see things that back 100 years ago, pioneers in Oklahoma were just happy if they had a glass window pane in their log cabin. And so times have certainly changed, and we are in a time where man is totally enveloped in the comfort of this world. But just because we don't live in the pioneer days doesn't mean that we shouldn't be desiring of something better. Yes, we have air conditioning. Thank God for air conditioning. But there is something better, church. There is a city whose builder and maker is God. And it's something better than the best this world will ever offer. Amen. Abraham sought a city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God. What does that mean, a city with foundation? Well, we know the story of the wise man and the foolish man Jesus talked about. With a foundation built by God, it's immovable. Amen. And in a lifetime where we face bad news from doctors or from bankers or from the headlines, and we never know what tomorrow may bring, I said to Carolyn, you know what the undiscovered country is this morning? She said, no. I go, how many times have I made you watch Star Trek and you don't know what the undiscovered country is? I said, it's the future. And the future is the undiscovered country, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know if there's going to be a knock on the door or our phone's going to go off saying a loved one has passed away. We don't know that. We live in a world where the foundation is shifting, and at any minute, any kind of bad news could happen. But I am looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, a city with foundation where I don't have to worry about a knock on the door. I don't have to worry about bad news on the phone. I know that God has built that city, and that city will stand. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. So Abraham, the founder of our faith, Paul used him as that. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. It's the whole theme of justification by faith. Paul points back to Father Abraham, and it says he was looking for a city with foundation. Foundation. I'm glad that there is a city with foundation, aren't you, this morning? I'm glad there is a city that cannot be touched by the economy, a city that cannot be touched by poverty, a city that can be not touched by plagues or famine or earthquakes or tornadoes. Did you know that the fastest recorded wind speed in the world was the Moore tornado a few years ago in Moore, Oklahoma, over 300 miles an hour? 300 and some miles an hour. Yeah. I posted that on Facebook. I just didn't remember the exact number. The idea is that there will always be the tornadoes. There will always be the earthquakes. But there is a city where tornadoes don't go. There is a city where earthquakes won't happen. There is a city where there is no more tears, and there is no more heartache, and there is no more loneliness, and there is no more sadness. And that's the city that we look for. You see, we can talk about the word faith all day long, but we need to define what we're talking about. We're talking about a seeking a country outside of the norms that God has prepared. Amen? Now, Sarah, it says Sarah was given a son when she was as good as dead. What does that mean? That means her womb could not bear children. She's an old lady. And she was promised a son, And it's an impossibility. It's a medical impossibility. That's in this world. But in the city I'm talking about, the impossible is possible. In the city I'm talking about, the incomprehensible is comprehensible. I don't know if I said that right. You know what I'm saying. And so she said, the angel told her, not only, Sarah, are you going to have a child in your old age, but he's going to have as many descendants as the stars in heaven. Who could do such a thing? The builder of the city could do it. The builder of the city will do it. And aren't you glad this morning, church, that we are of Father Abraham and Sarah? Aren't you glad that the sign that we have yet to hang out there with that five-letter word, F-A-I-T-H, on it, is not because we are having to quote the right thing or having to say everything right. It's because our eyes are on a city. Oh, glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I haven't preached like this in a while. Our eyes are on a city outside of the natural realm where we can have children in our old age and their descendants could be as many as the stars. And I don't care if the world looks at us and says, you're strange, you're peculiar, you really believe that stuff? I had someone say to me one time, it escapes me what the context was, but I said something, they said, do you really believe that stuff? And I said, yeah, I'm a believer. Don't call yourself a believer if you don't believe, amen? Don't call yourself a believer if you don't believe that the God and the miracles of the Bible that happened 2,000 years ago could happen today. I believe there is a city whose builder and maker is God. And I am confident and I am fully persuaded that I will walk on those streets of gold. I will see the Lamb of God whose face is like the fire of sun and his feet are like polished brass and his voice is like many waters. Woo! Come on, church. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Boy, I haven't even got through two lines of my notes yet. I love preaching faith. Hallelujah. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now notice the way they say that. You know, I think in the Bible they should have put double quotes about that. This is a title, the son of Pharaoh. Who is that guy? That's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Right? So what it says is that he disowned this glorious title because he saw something better. Something better. He refused the title son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. So, put it in context here. You take someone like Bill Gates. I always pick on Bill Gates for some reason. There's probably people richer. And you say, creator of Microsoft. All right, here's what you want to do. You're going to just totally dissolve yourself of Microsoft and all of the money that goes with it. And instead, you're going to take the title of suffering affliction. That's your new title. And every day you will suffer affliction. You will have pains and aches. Now, what man in his right mind would walk away from billions of dollars and power and authority and recognition and take on the title and the pain that comes with it of suffering affliction? I'll tell you who Moses did. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, why would anyone in their right mind do that? And verse 26 is the answer. He recognized that there are greater riches. Greater riches. Greater riches. I'm talking about a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm talking about seeking a country where there's greater riches. You know, all of this stuff is going to burn. It's all going to burn. When I first got saved, Jim Dunn, great friend of mine, we hung out together. One day my gremlin wouldn't start. It was like the starter was stuck or something. He laid hands on my gremlin, and all of a sudden, nobody's touching it. The starter starts spinning. It was kind of like it was stuck or something. And we all started praising God. It may have been God, maybe the starter was stuck. I don't know. But you know what he said to me when I was bummed out that my gremlin wouldn't work? He said, Raj, it's all going to burn. You know, it's all going to burn. Your gremlins are going to burn. I don't think anybody ever had a gremlin other than me. My man cave is going to burn. Everything you value, everything that you elevate high on your list is going to come to naught. And so why not transfer your title from the son of Pharaoh's daughter to suffer affliction with the people of God, esteeming that there are greater riches for you in that coming kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me go ahead and just read verse 26 for you. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. It's kind of wordy. The word recompense means make amends to someone for loss or harm suffered. It means compensate. Synonyms are compensate, indemnify, repay, reimburse, pay money to make reparation to, make restitution to, make amends to, compensate, or reward given for loss or harm or suffering or efforts made. I remember one time I had a situation when I was doing kids ministry at Calvary, and Brother Moon used to always say, Brother Roger, God keeps good books. And you know what? That's what this recompense means. It means it doesn't matter what you suffer here. God is keeping good books, and he will recompense. He will repay. He will bring restitution for your faithfulness. So don't get discouraged. Don't get bogged down by he did this to me and she did that to me. There is a city whose builder and maker is God, and he keeps good books, and he will restitute you for anything you've lost, because that's the city we look for. We are seeking a country, a city whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord. And then verse 27, and so this is where I have to say faith, even though I was trying not to. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So how do you walk, how do you not fear man? By faith, right? That's the only way. You might say, well, I don't care what they do to me, you know? That was what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They didn't have backbone, they had faith. Faith brings backbone. But they said to the king, you know, oh, king, you know, you can throw us in that fire, and the God we serve may deliver us. But whether he does or not, be it known unto you, we won't bow, right? That's what that is. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest the destroyer, the firstborn, should touch him. So, in these two verses here, I want to read them both again. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest the destroyer, the firstborn, should touch him. So, there's three things in here. This could be a three-point sermon in itself, but I won't keep you an hour. He, number one, forsook Egypt. Number two, he endured. And number three, he kept the Passover. Let me say those three again. He forsook Egypt, he endured, and he kept the Passover. I'm going to say it one more time. Can I say it one more time? He forsook Egypt, he endured, and he kept the Passover. You see, really, this is the formula for anybody that needs to get saved, because the first thing you got to do is forsake Egypt. If you're not willing to turn your back on the world, Jesus said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So the first step to being a born-again Christian is you have to be willing to turn your back on the world. I could do an illustration preaching like this, but that would probably be weird. So you've got to be willing to turn your back on the world and the worldly system, right? Does that mean I can't go to movies, I just sit on a mountaintop and eat crackers and grape juice? No. You can be in the world, you just can't be of the world, right? So he forsook Egypt. The second thing he did, and this is almost as important as the first, it's right up there, he endured. He endured. He endured. You know, Paul compared our Christian walk as a race. We run with patience the race, right? It's not a sprint, it's not a 50-yard dash, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. If I wasn't so lazy, I'd run around the sanctuary 20 times to remind you what a marathon is. But you'll have to just visualize it, right? You know, a marathon is something that, and I ran cross country in junior high. I went to the city tournament, and out of 300-400 kids, I finished 17th. I felt that was pretty good. A lot of people never finish at all. I was very proud of 17. And I can remember running by guys holding their side, laying on the side of the little path that we're going this gigantic long distance run. Because that's what life is. It's a marathon. And one day you can be up and the next day you can be down. One day you can be shouting, the next day you can be crying. But you don't quit. It's a marathon. You endure. You keep running the race. You keep running. You keep running. And you don't quit. You don't quit. No matter how hard it is, you say, you know, this is rough. But I'm not looking at tomorrow or next week. I'm looking at a city. It's far off in the distance. I can barely see it. But I know it's there. And this city has foundation. There's no tears in this city. There's no heartache. My loved ones are waiting for me there. I know it has foundation. The builder is God. The maker is God. And so I keep going. I keep going. I endure. I keep on keeping on. My first pastor, Pastor Sam Mayo, who's in heaven now, with that Georgia accent, keep on keeping on, and when you can't keep on a little longer. That's the way he used to say it. Oh, and he said it all the time. Because that is the answer. It's called endurance. So Moses forsook Egypt. He endured. And the third thing he did is keep the Passover. You know what the Passover was? There's an angel of death coming through. Amen? Now I want to keep picking on these churches that don't do communion. But I just want to emphasize that we do. And I actually thought about doing it today, but we didn't do it. But we will soon. We like to have communion here at Faith Fellowship because that's the New Testament equivalent to Passover. And if there's an angel of death heading for your house, I want the blood on my doorpost, don't you? Amen? I didn't get saved because I read the Bible only. I didn't get saved because I knew some scriptures. I got saved because I put my faith in the blood. And that's what Moses did. He kept the Passover. He put his faith in the blood of the Lamb, and the angel of death passed over. Amen? See, that's what we're talking about here. We are defining what faith is. It's more than a word. It's more than a confession. It is a lifestyle that is about a city whose builder and maker is God. It is a lifestyle about endurance. It is a lifestyle about forsaking the world. It is a lifestyle about the blood. And that will take us into that city. That will guarantee us entrance into that city. They won't have to check any records and see. They'll look at us and say, I see the blood. Come on in. Come on in. You know, there's all kinds of jokes I've heard years and years about St. Peter at the gate and this happened and that happened, some of which I wouldn't even dare to repeat. But I'm here to tell you, when we get there, Peter isn't going to be checking your credentials. God is going to be checking the blood. And he said, when I see the blood, judgment passes over and the gates of that city open wide. Amen. So Moses forsook Egypt. He endured and he kept the Passover. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate one, love the other, or else he'll hold to one and despise the other. And that's what it is about the world. You have to hate the worldly system. Again, you can be in the world, you just don't want to be of the world. And then, of course, verse 16. I'm kind of jumping around all over this chapter. You can read it, the whole chapter yourself. But now they, if you write in your Bible, underline they. Because this they is talking about all of these people in chapter 11 that he's mentioned. And he even said, time is running out to talk of Barak and Samson and Japheth, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, you know. So he's like, man, I could just keep going, but I'm not going to, which is unusual for Paul. But now they desire a better country. They desire a better country. That is a heavenly one where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Aren't you glad that God is not ashamed to be called our God? Wow, look at the air come in through that opening. That's crazy. God is not ashamed. Devil, stop interrupting my sermon, distracting the people and me. God is not ashamed to be called our God. God has prepared for them a city. They are not called Christians. They are called those that desire a better country, right? He's talking about people who desire a better country, people who are not so comfortable with this world and worldly system that they say, well, I hope Jesus don't come this week because I'm getting my pool installed or whatever, right? Right? So these are people who desire a better country. And then this statement here is interesting to me. It says, call their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now listen to that. Prepared for them a city. Does that ring a bell to you? If you're a word person, that should ring a bell. Jesus said, I go away to what? Prepare you. A place for you. Yeah. Yeah. Woo, come on, Jesus. He has went away to prepare a place for you and me. And he's talking to us now who are believers. He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's prepared a place for you and me. He said that where I am, you will be also. And we know that when we are raptured up to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we're going to come to be with Jesus in that city, and we're going to stay with Jesus from then on, never to be departed again. Amen. I want to close. Come on up, Nola. I want to close with one other thought here. And again, I'm not reading all these verses. They're in verses 17, 18, and 19. But it's about Abraham offering his son, right, on the altar. And so it says the reason that he was obedient wasn't just because he was Abraham, wasn't just because he was an obedient man of God. He believed that God was able to raise Isaac. You see, that's a mark of the people we're talking about, the people who seek a country. They believe God is able. I said they believe God is able. I said they believe God is able. So whatever you may face this week, this next month, this next year, that was three words that we should have in our vocabulary. While the world is looking and wondering how we're going to respond, we just smile and say, well, I believe God is able. I believe God is able. I believe God is able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. God can do it. God can do it. I believe he's able. And then Isaac, it says, blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You know, in spite of the fact that Jesus said, don't fret about tomorrow. Sufficient is the day of the problems. You know, just focus on today. We can't help but do that sometimes. So when we worry about things to come, it says Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau on things to come. You know, Lord, I bless my children because I believe someday they're going to be serving you again. Things to come. That's that F word I was trying not to say, right? It's not the word, it's the action. I can bless my kids because I believe that God is going to be waiting for them beyond my grave with things to come. You hear what I'm saying, church? I believe that God can take care of them. I don't need to worry about them. I just need to bless them for things to come. That's what I'm talking about. And then Jacob finally blessed the sons of Joseph. Switch those hands, right? Jacob and Esau. Dad, you got your head on the wrong one. Dad, now would I know what I'm doing? Old Grandpa. Grandpa knows what he's doing because he's one of these heroes of faith who's looking for a country whose builder and maker is God. I say, let's join them. Let's make chapter 11 a little bit longer. Jot down your name in there, Rick and Karen and Roger, and jot us all down and say, here's some more people, by the way, Lord, who are looking past this worldly system to a city, to a country that's better, a country with foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today. I said, we thank you today that we have been adopted into a family. And though the world will never understand, they'll never know. God save them. They'll never understand what it's like to have your life anchored in a city that the world cannot see, that we by faith look for a city with foundation, a city whose builder and maker is God. That's who we are this morning, Lord. That's who we are. And we praise you today. And we ask you to help us to continue to keep looking for that city. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
So let the Son of God enfold you with his spirit and his love. Let him fill your life with satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your
someone a big hug before you go. Thank you for coming.